This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, covering all kinds of topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. And today, a look at education from the South Umpqua School District. Interim Superintendent Paul Hillier, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We have talked before, and now this is almost like an exit interview in some ways, because as an interim superintendent, your time is wrapping up, in fact, very soon, right?
Yeah, 1 week left, and I will be going back to my hometown.
And that is where?
We live in Klamath Falls, so not too far away.
Now, so have you been doing a lot of running back and forth then?
I have. Just on weekends, I stay in Myrtle Creek during the week, and then on weekends, I go home to my family.
So how long were you have you been the interim superintendent?
Just for this school year. Started last July, and so the year is almost up.
Now, remind folks, if they caught your earlier interviews or maybe didn't, talk about your career before retirement, some of the things you've done, especially in the last, 10 years or so.
I actually was retired the 2 years prior to accepting the position with the South Umpqua School District. Before that, I was the superintendent in the Klamath Falls City Schools for 11 years. And 5 years prior to that, I was the superintendent for 5 years in Nebraska and had a long career in Minnesota and Iowa as well, doing various other administrative and teaching roles. So been in education 43 years.
Now, spending all that time in the Midwest and further east, what was it that got your attention about Klamath Falls?
Well, really, it was I was looking for a place to retire, and we kind of narrowed it down to just a few states, Oregon, California, and Arizona, and Washington. I'll throw Washington in there, too. And Oregon was the one that caught our attention most of all. So when we visited, we fell in love with this state, and we really have enjoyed Klamath Falls. So it was we thought it'd be a great place to retire.
And so obviously working there for several years, getting used to the area. Now you're retired. What coaxes you out of retirement for the interim position?
Well, that's a good question. I got a call from the school board president last May, I guess it was, May of 2023. And he just said, we're in kind of a pinch here because the candidates that we had for our top candidates have already taken other jobs. And we're looking for someone to help us through this gap period. Would you be willing to do that? I hadn't even thought about really being an interim superintendent until he mentioned that to me. And I talked it over with my wife, and we just said, yeah, that might be kind of interesting for a year. And I saw it, too, as an opportunity to use some of my knowledge to help out a school district and to help some kids hopefully learn and grow for that year. So I thought, well, if I can help out, I'd be willing. So it was really that one phone call.
What is kind of the role of an interim superintendent? I realize that may vary district to district, but kind of in general, what's the job?
Well, it's really very similar to a regular superintendent. You still, manage a school board, manage school board meetings, make sure the policies are up to date and accurate, make sure all the laws are being followed, make sure that, the budget is balanced and that you keep the district in good financial condition. Make sure that your employee unions have the up-to-date contracts and go through contract negotiations where necessary and help principals grow and improve in their work and help them run their schools and just bring about overall district direction and growth as much as you can in a year. Of course, compared to a regular superintendency, you'd normally be there for a few years, so you can't quite attack everything that you would if you're going to be there for a longer period of time. That's probably the biggest change that I saw was just deciding what you can do in 1 year compared to 5 to 10 years like I've done before.
When you walk into that situation, you've got to get to know a lot of people, learn a lot of information about the district awfully quickly, I imagine.
Yeah, you do. And that's kind of the first thing that I did when I got there was just made sure that I met and got to know everybody on our school board as well as I could, and all of our administrators as well as I could, and then key members of the community, too. I had meetings with probably about 10 to 15 prominent community members to help get a feel for the district and the community's perception of the district and what they see as needs and areas where we could improve. And really, you do that fairly quickly. I did that pretty much in the month of July last year, spent that whole month just meeting with people and getting to know the lay of the land so that I could help the district kind of set some direction for the next school year.
What were some of the significant accomplishments you feel like you were a part of during this 12-month period?
Well, there were a few things. Number one is we ended up with a balanced budget and, in fact, even increased our fund balance a little bit from last year to this year. A lot of districts across the state are really suffering budgetarily, and we were able to maintain a balanced budget and a healthy budget and able to keep the programs for the kids that we've had this year. We didn't have to make any cuts in programming or in staff. So I felt like that was one of the most important things, was to leave the district budgetarily in as good a shape as when I came. I guess the second area of feeling very positive is we were able to get a $239,000 summer school grant for this summer for our kids. And we're partnering with the Myrtle Creek Library in that grant. And I think that summer school program is going to give kids just a lot of opportunities, because it includes a lot of field trips, taking kids that are from poverty backgrounds, many of the kids that have never been to some of these places, a chance to really get out and explore a little bit, as well as beef up their math and their language arts and reading skills as well on top of that. So I feel really good about that. One of the biggest efforts we had this year, probably the biggest initiative I took on right away, was to improve safety planning in the district. We had an outdated emergency operations manual in the district that really had fallen into disuse, and it was a little bit obsolete. And so with the help of a couple of very good people, our SRO officer, Taylor Vion, and the principal of Tri-City Elementary, Emily Veal, we formed a task force in the district to rewrite that operations manual and then just really beef up all of our safety procedures and practices in the district to make our buildings safe. So I feel like that, you know, is something when I leave, I feel good about leaving behind. I feel the district is in a really good position safety-wise, and we applied for a grant also, a $500,000 COPS grant that we will find out in August whether we get, to improve our safety infrastructure in the district. And so fingers crossed on that one.
You know, the safety planning area I want to hit for a minute is such a bigger deal, obviously, than it used to be, just given all the changes in society. And I'm sure that sometimes there's a tendency in a smaller rural district like South Umpqua to say, well, we don't have to worry about that so much. But you can't say that anymore.
No. I think, you know, it's a cliche, but safety is the most important thing you can do in a school district. You have to make sure the kids and the staff are safe, because, frankly, learning cannot take place if people feel insecure, because that's one of sort of the basic needs of a human being, is to feel safe and not worried about whether there's going to be some harm done that day. So, you know, outside of the fact you don't want anybody getting hurt, it's also critical for learning. And so, yeah, it's something that you just cannot ignore. And you have to, as a superintendent, it's the one thing that keeps me awake at night, because you cannot cover all your bases perfectly, and you can't keep all the loose ends tied up. It's unfortunately not possible, but you've got to do the best you possibly can so that every student has a safe learning environment that next day.
You mentioned the potential COPS grant. Any other things you want to add in that area?
Not much else in safety. I did have a couple other things I wanted to mention that we have accomplished this year. Number one, as far as just what the kids have accomplished, I want to really congratulate our girls softball team, who took state this year, number one in state, for the first time in the history of the South Umpqua School District. So really, I take no credit in that, although I was a good fan. And very, very proud of those girls. And we did build a new softball field this year for them. And maybe that's why we won state. I don't know. Maybe they felt that we really cared about them. But so that was great. We also finalized and used a new cafeteria up at our middle school. It's a beautiful cafeteria, $4 million building, which just for a lot of different reasons was really a very positive thing. I give the past superintendent, Kate McLaughlin, credit for that. She spearheaded that effort last year, and it was completed before the start of this school year. Then we had Jessica Norton, also from the middle school, a middle school special education teacher who was Douglas County Teacher of the Year this year, and very proud of her and what she accomplished there, and very well deserved, just a great teacher. Then for our high school, I'm very proud of what they did. They got our graduation rate up to 80% last year, and I'm thinking it's even going to be higher for this last school year. And that was a 6% increase over the prior year. So congrats and thanks to the high school staff and the high school administration for making that possible. We also got about $75,000 in facility grants for the district to do facility planning and to look at the seismic needs of our district and set us up for applying for grants for seismic improvements. And then we had three task force in the district that completed their work to improve specific areas in the district for next year. One is attendance. Student attendance is really a big problem. I think it is not only in South Umpqua School District, but pretty much across the state and a lot across the whole nation, I think. Ever since COVID, I guess students just got out of the habit of coming to school or seeing it as important, and sometimes their families lost that priority as well. So that's something that we've really beefed up with a task force that we're going to put this plan in place for next year. And we also really improved and fine-tuned our teacher mentor program, because we've got a lot of inexperienced new teachers. Probably almost half of our teachers in the district have been in teaching 3 or less years, and so they need help and direction from more experienced teachers. So we put together a mentor program for them, and we're doing it in cooperation with the Douglas ESD for next year. So I think that's going to be a very big help to our teachers next year.
Well, a lot going on there. We're going to talk more about the past year and moving forward in the South Umpqua School District. Interim Superintendent Paul Hillier with us. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1249 at News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Tomorrow's program, Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District will be with us. Interim Superintendent Paul Hillier of the South Umpqua School District here today. Now, I know a new superintendent was obviously hired because you're about ready to roll out. Mm-hmm. Talk about the new superintendent for South Umpqua.
Her name is Erica Bear. She's the assistant superintendent currently with the Ashland School District. And so she was hired in February, the first week in February. So she and I have been in pretty close contact ever since then so that she can kind of hit the ground running in July. And she's also been meeting with a lot of people in the school district over the last 2 to 3 weeks. She's been taking some time off from Ashland to come down here. So looking forward to having Erica here. She's kind of specializes in special education is her background primarily. But I think she's got a lot of good experience that's going to be a very good asset for the South Umpqua School District.
Now, were you able to weigh in on the decision process of hiring a new superintendent?
I was not. I did help the board set up the process with the Oregon School Boards Association. And once it got underway, then I kind of stepped aside, and it was totally the school board's decision, and went from there. And I think they did a really good job of choosing the right candidate.
Well, and I know that you've got at least some of the members on that board have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, we've got three members that have been doing it for quite a while: David Stevens, the Jeff Johnson, and Randy on our school board that have been there for probably 10 to 15 years, so they're old hands. The other four members were pretty new, so they needed some help from those experienced members.
Now, you're working with her. I would think it'd be interesting to have only been in a district for a year, and now your job is to kind of get her ready to go. It sounds like a fun challenge.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you've been there a year, you do get to know the strengths and weaknesses of a school district. You know, it's almost a little frustrating in a way, because you learn some of the things fairly close to the time when you're going to leave. But a year is a pretty good time to make an assessment of what the strengths are that you should capitalize on, and what the areas are that really are key ones for goal improvement for the next year. So I feel like hopefully it will be helpful to her, the input I've given.
What are your overall thoughts of kind of the state of the South Umpqua School District at this point?
I think it's got really strong leadership in the district. I think that's the strength of the district. It's got a good school board that is very cooperative, and you know, all those members are there because they're there for the right reason, to help the kids. We have really strong principals in the South Umpqua School District that I'm really pleased with. They're young and they're growing and developing, but they're also very capable people with a lot of skills. And then we've got good directors in the district at various positions. So there's lots of really good things. And then I think another real strength of the district is the Student Services Department, which includes our special education program, it includes our school psychologists, it includes our behavior management system in the district. A lot of very good people were hired to do work in that area and provide a tremendous amount of support to our teachers. And then I would just say that I really see the leaders in the district as being visionary and seeing where the district needs to go and improve. And a lot of it has to do with helping young, inexperienced teachers learn the craft and getting their feet solidly on the ground so that you can have solid instruction and classroom management in those rooms, and learn some of the things that are very important to being a successful teacher, such as how to differentiate your instruction for your high, your middle, and your low students, you know, and things like that. So I would say that's the area of biggest growth for the school district, is just helping those young teachers become expert in their craft so they can be expert in instruction.
With four decades in education, most of it elsewhere, but what's your perspective on kind of the overall challenges for education in Oregon right now?
Well, you know, in Oregon in general, but especially in small town Oregon, I think the biggest challenge is being able to find the staff that you need. Hiring is a real challenge right now, because there aren't very many teachers coming out of college currently. And in a small town, your applicant pool is even narrower. And so in small town Oregon, I see that as one of the biggest challenges. Probably the second biggest challenge is just facilities. In the South Umpqua School District, the last bond issue was passed in 1965. So all of our buildings in that school district need a lot of ongoing maintenance just to be able to be used, and that gets very costly. And also, it's not as effective as if it were a newer building also. And just one thing that I think a lot of people forget when they think of maintenance needs of school buildings, that has to come right out of the same funds that school districts use to man their classrooms. It comes out of what's called the general fund, because we don't have any other funds in the state for anything outside of what the state gives us for our classroom instruction. So when you have to replace an air conditioning unit in a building for $350,000, or a roof for $250,000, or a furnace for, you know, $150,000, whatever it is, that comes right out of the same fund that we use to hire teachers and other staff. And I feel like the state of Oregon has done a very poor job in how they structure educational funding in general, because in smaller school districts like South Umpqua, it is hard passing bond issues, as you can tell by not passing one for over 50 years. And whereas in a bigger community where the property valuation is so much greater, so it doesn't hit the taxpayer as much when a bond issue is passed, like Portland or Eugene or
and
Salem.
We're out of time. Paul Hillier, interim superintendent, thanks for being on. It's 1258.
Sorry about that.